Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, you on the line tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, are you on the line tonight?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Praise God. Good to be back on the line one more time. I know on last week I was trying to get on the line, but I had some dental work done and just couldn't push through. So thank you for all your prayers. The body is healed up, and thank God he's our healer. We're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sheila G., we were talking the last time we were together about the journey, how Paul was making his Christian journey and how all of us make our Christian journey, and how prayer and relationship with God helps us on a daily basis to make through our Christian journey. And even though we're saved and we have high times in the Lord, and we often have awesome worship experiences, we still got to go back home and we still got to live our lives. And that was one of the things on last week where I had that tooth issue. it was one of those things. It was like you had to go through it. It's like, yeah, we got Bible study. Yeah, we got prayer service. Yeah, we had church and worship. And all those things help. Because believe it or not, we still live in this world and we're still susceptible to the ups and downs and the challenges of life. And every now and then you're going to have an ache and a pain or something going to pop up, and you just can't fall apart and fall by the wayside, but you just got to keep trusting God to help you get through it. And those are the things that God said in his word that he promised he would be with you.
Amen.
He never promised everything was going to be rosy all the time, but he said he was going to promise that he'll always be with you, that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So I thank God that while I was going through my dental pain, that he was there to help, to ease the pain. Sheila G.
Amen. Actually, I was sharing that very thing with someone both yesterday and today about how in this life we're going to get punches, and the Satan's going to give us a punch, but he only has power, and Jesus has, and the Holy Spirit has, we have the power and authority through the Holy Spirit. So Satan may punch, but through the Holy Spirit we can have a counterpunch. But we can't have that counterpunch unless we trust in God. So to your point that it's not going to be, the stuff's not going to come against us. When it comes against us, if we trust in God, he'll give us a way to punch back at the devil with that counterpunch.
Amen, amen. He has power, but God has all power.
And authority.
So that and we have the authority in God that we're able to make it through. But it's something. If you don't know that, you can't call on the name of the Lord. But when you got punched and felt like somebody punched me in my jaw.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. But he was able to get me through it. Right on time. Songwriter said he's an on time God. Yes, he is. And so we thank God for his deliverance. We were in the book of Acts, 21st chapter of the book of Acts. And we were talking about when we left off, there were the prophets and they were prophesying, and Dr. G was sharing with us that when you start saying the Lord told me this, first he was skeptical, but then it started coming through, coming true.
Right.
And he learned to trust your prophecy. And so that's what we were saying, try the Spirit by the Spirit. If someone's prophesying and it's coming true, then you can trust that they're a prophet, a true prophet.
Uh-huh.
But if they prophesying ain't nothing coming true, then they just talking. So
right.
you gotta try the Spirit by the Spirit and make sure those things are of God. And so as Paul is completing his earthly journey, missionary journey, what's happening is he's coming through saint to saint to saint, and he's going from house to house, working his way back to Jerusalem. And in this particular chapter, there's a fellow by the name of Agabus, and he's going to prophesy to Paul that he's going to be placed under arrest and go through a persecution in Jerusalem because he went out on missionary journey and ministered to the Greeks. And, you know, the rumor mill back then is the same as the social rumor mill today. Word
right.
gets out. And you got misinformation, people lying, people coming up with stuff, and it gets ugly. And it reminds me of what's going on in our religious and political world today, how you have the truth being thrown aside and lies being brought forward as the truth. And people are dying, people are getting killed, and we look at that tragic situation that happened in Buffalo,
right,
where someone was radicalized
yeah.
by lies that they had been radicalized over the social network, social media, about their being replaced. That there was this thing called replacement, and as we look at this chapter, there's Jews that were participating and they were observing the Old Testament, the Mosaic Law. And so when Paul went and started preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, they became irate, and they wanted to get rid of Paul because he was preaching the good news. Even though if they were to study their law and study the prophet of the Old Testament, all the prophets pointed to Jesus.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't a thing of Paul coming up on his own, but he was just fulfilling what the word of God says. And so you have people that get stuck in lies, and they don't agree, if you don't agree with them or it doesn't make sense to them, then what they want to do is they want to eliminate people. And so that's what happened in this Buffalo situation. They wanted to eliminate black people because they're saying that black people were going to be used by some type of religious organization, whether it's Jews or whoever, to remove the European race. And you know, you look at this with the Jews in this 21st chapter of Acts, they're looking at Paul like he's getting rid of the Old Testament and the Mosaic way of worship for Christianity, and so they want to get rid of him. So you have this social misinformation that exists in the 21st, in the 20th century as well as in the 21st century. But the thing is to find out what the truth is. People just take a lie and run with it, but nobody wants to get to the truth. Nobody wants to believe that you need to know your facts and know your history and know what the word of God said. Sheila G.
Amen. And, you know, as you were talking about that, there truly is nothing new under the sun. Even before the first century church, it's, you know, you have the Jews coming against Paul because he's bringing in Christianity, which is replacing the Mosaic law. But even before that, in the Old Testament, the reason they had, you know, the it was a part, I think it was in Exodus, where they were saying that they had, the Jews were the slaves, and they were saying that you needed to eliminate them because there was going to be too many of them. And then the king was saying, okay, we're going to have to eliminate them because your slaves, the population, their babies, they just keep popping out and popping out.
Mm-hmm.
So the Jewish population
mm-hmm.
is going to be too big, and then the slaves are going to overtake you. So it's like it's the mm-hmm. same demonic theory of, you know, looking at it with the human eye and the fleshly eye. Are you trying to replace me? Are you trying to replace me? About that power. So it's kind of ironic that the Jews are saying this about Christianity when they went through that before, when that went
mm-hmm.
under the other
with
kings.
Pharaoh,
that,
yeah.
Yeah, Pharaoh. I couldn't think of his name. With Pharaoh. So you're saying, oh, there's too many of them. They keep popping these babies out. You got to do something to get rid of them. Slow it down. And like you said, it's the big lie. It's the big theory. It's the big, okay, to keep power, to keep control versus trusting in God.
Amen. And Dr. G, it also reflects in the 21st century church, where you have, when new people come into the church, the old folk, they have this tendency to not want to accept the new folks and new ideas, and you get that turmoil between the old saints and the new saints, and one of Satan's old tricks is to turn each other on each other, Dr. G.
Well, you're right. I guess I didn't see a little bit of everything. And as Sheila was saying, there's really nothing new under the sun. I mean, it's the same old garbage that's, you know, being put out there. Because I remember when we went to New Birth, just about all of the young people had left.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that were coming and those that were being drawn, you know, they were trying to get rid of them.
Yep.
And it's a thing where, for whatever reason, you know, the people who are in power are afraid to let go of it, not realizing that it all belongs to the Lord. You
right.
know, we're supposed to be worshiping the Lord,
yep.
but it's about
mm-hmm.
keeping a foothold in, you know, in these positions. And it's amazing to see, but it's the same old story.
Amen. And it's all through history where, you know, humankind turns against humankind. We're all living on the same planet,
mm-hmm.
all breathing the same air. But, you know, you have this political and religious power that is like an addictor, not in it for the right reason. They will use and abuse and manipulate people ruthlessly,
uh-huh.
and it doesn't make sense. But it's not of God. And when people put their trust in man will let you down. I don't care what part of the country you're from. I don't care what political party you're affiliated with or religious organization you're affiliated with. Power, ultimate power, corrupts. And,
right.
and if you're not led by the Holy Spirit of God, you'll find yourself being led astray and doing things that are not pleasing in the sight of God. But that's why we have to turn to God. That's why we have to study God's word. That's why we have to know God's word for ourselves, because people will use and manipulate and twist God's word to make it say what they want it to say. And, you know, you've always had people in power, even in times of slavery in the United States, that
yeah.
they would twist the word up to tell the slaves, hey, this is God's thing and this is what God wants. And, you know, they just use and abuse their position of authority for their own gain. And same thing's going on today in our political and religious organizations. And so we have to know God for ourselves, know God's word for ourselves, live according to the word of God, trust the Holy Spirit, and to make sure that we don't get caught up in that crazy foolishness. I often look back at the crazy foolishness that happened on January 6th of last year, and then it's just so many people got caught up in a big lie and all kind of people, religious organization, political organization, black, white, people just get caught up in it. And like you said earlier, Sheila, it's all about power. It's all about
right.
wielding power, and it's all about power. They don't care anything about anybody else. They don't care about the people.
Right.
They just care about being in power, and whatever the group you're with is the group they want in power, and everything else is irrelevant. And so what we have to do is we have to understand this attack. We have to understand how it's used, and know God for yourself, because
right.
they can make it look real good. Satan can make it look real tempting and have you going down the wrong track real fast. Sheila
yep.
G.
Amen. And in this past week or two, actually it's been about 2 weeks now, God has kind of laid it in my heart, in my mind, because of the fact that people let the devil use them, and then they start believing the lie, and then, you know, even before the Buffalo thing is you have all this friction between people, and it's because they're not looking at it from a spiritual eye. So God was speaking to me that when things, whether it's somebody on your job, somebody in your family, or somebody in the store or car that's blowing at you, as opposed to looking at it as that person, use your spiritual eye and say, call it the devil. Because it's not that person. The devil is using that person to come at you. But if we call the devil out through the Holy Spirit, then it will help to tap down our emotions. What happens is everyone's getting caught up in the lie, because they're feeling a certain way, they're feeling isolated, they're feeling like this group is too big and they're going to replace us, or they're going to take over us. They're feeling like, okay, this person blowing a horn at me, they're going to crash into me, or they're feeling like somebody in my family is coming up against me. So you're focused on the human and the flesh side. But if you literally, when you come under attack by a human being or by a lie or something like that, and you call it out as a devil, then your spiritual eye is open. Then you're able to, like you said, when you got punched in your job with that tooth thing, you say, okay, that's Satan. You're trying to mess with me. You're able to endure until God gives the counterpunch. So literally, when people start doing things, I literally, or I see something going, I literally say, all right, Satan, you need to, not so much I'm calling the person Satan, but I'm calling that spirit out. I can focus on the Holy Spirit. And if you do the Spirit, you fight Satan with the Holy Spirit, that removes that emotion, so you're not as influenced.
Amen, amen. And on last week, before when we were together, we were talking about prayer and how we need to get to the Lord's table to get our daily bread every day. And once we get to give him the attention where we want to receive his daily bread and to surrender our will over to his will, what happens is even in these times of challenge that come in our lives, we'll be able to operate in a manner that's pleasing to Him. And right. And like you said, if you're understanding the spirit of Antichrist, the attacks of the enemy, and you can continue to soak God, continue to get your daily bread, and what happens is you can act like the child of God that God says you've been adopted into His family. And since you've been adopted into the family of God, then you have to have the characteristics of God. Then you'll behave like your heavenly Father and not like the fleshly father of Satan. And so you have to get to a place where you say, okay, I'm surrendering my will over to God's will. In this situation, I want to behave like I am a child of God and not like a heathen because, you know, we're still living in the flesh. And anybody can act ugly, you know. It doesn't take much for us to act ugly when you're in the flesh, especially if you're tired or you're sick or you're hurting or you're frustrated. And what happens is you no longer begin to act like a child of God, but you act like a child of the Antichrist. And so you have to be careful, but you have to be cognizant of that. You have to study God's word. You have to learn how the Spirit works in you. You have to understand how the word of God is the counterpunch through the spirit of God that will allow you to be able to stand. And you know, when you study that, you were talking about that the week before last year, the whole arm of God and the weapon of the child of God is that whole armor. And it says the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so in that sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, if you don't know the word of God, then you can't, like you were talking about, you can't fight with the Spirit. And that's why it's important to have your own personal study time, study in Sunday school and Bible study to know the word of God. So when it's come time to stand with that whole armor on, you have that sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, where you're able to withstand the attack of any enemy. And you were talking about that earlier. Having done all the stand with that word, stand on God's promises, stand knowing that the Holy Spirit will give you the strength and the power to overcome, because the weapon of our warfare is mighty through God, and right. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. That's not to say that the weapons won't be formed and used against us. And so when you understand that behooves us to get into the word. So the Spirit has something to work with that you can say that I'm more than a conqueror, that you can say no weapon formed against me shall prosper, that you can say that I'm the head and not the tail, that you can say overcome evil with good, that you can say that the Lord will fight my battle and understand that it's not by power, not by might, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Sheila G.
Man, you pretty much said it all. That is, the more we recognize it's a spiritual warfare, the stronger and the more powerful we are. But in order to do that, we got to know prayer. We got to get to God's word. We need to do prayer service, Bible study, Sunday school. Fill up on it like a fitness instructor to gain that muscle. You know, you see these people in these competitions and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Get that nutrition, that good food, that muscle. Then you're ready to go out and fight the devil.
Amen. Let's go to Acts 21, and we'll pick up on Paul's journey as he's getting ready to go to Jerusalem back to deal with the folks in Jerusalem. So Acts 21, verse 11, it says, and when he was come unto us, he took Paul's, I'm sorry, if we go back to Acts 21, verse 10, and it says, and as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And verse 11, and when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus said the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man and own this girl, and shall deliver him into the hand of the Gentiles. And so he's speaking to Paul, saying that he's going to be bound and he's going to be delivered to captors. And so this, if you're not in the spirit, when you get news news that would say that it's going to be sunny and perfect weather, low humidity with no problems, that would cause, if you're not in the word of God and not in the spirit of God and the will of God, that would cause some people anxiety, and people would freak out and not want to continue on the journey. And I think a lot of times just people's words cause people to not to behave according to the word of God. And it's like they get scared of the words and they walk by sight instead of by faith. And it reminds me of when God told them when they came out of the wilderness to go and into the land of milk and honey. And so the spies went out and 10 of them came back and said, they giants over there. They're so huge over there. They giants. They got stuff over there that's huge. We can't do it. And instead of believing what God said, they believed what their eyes were. They don't believe your lying eyes. They believe what their lying eyes said. And so because of their lack of faith in God, in God's word, that God said that they could go and this is the land for them to take, they ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. They missed their blessing till the ones that didn't believe fell. As the Bible says, their carcasses fell in the wilderness. But Caleb and I forget the other fellow's name. They came back with a good report. Yeah, and they said, we can take them, and they weren't afraid of what their eyes were. They weren't afraid of what they saw. And so here Paul is getting some news. You know, the news is that it's going to be a rough time, just like Caleb and Joshua came back after they viewed the promised land and said, yeah, they got some big stuff over there, but we're more than able to do it. And so Agabus gave Paul this message. Paul didn't get flabbergasted. He didn't get off his track. He didn't get sidetracked by the word of bad news. And this is what I'm saying to us as a body of Christ. There's going to be some times where you get bad news. There's going to be some diagnoses. There's going to be some things where you have issues with your tooth or your foot or whatever, or something's going on your job, or something's going on in your family or something, or a pandemic. But the thing is, you have to understand that you're a child of God, and that God knows what's best for us, and that God knows the beginning and the end at the same time. And sometimes in order for you to grow, God has to allow you to go through some things. Like you said, Sheila G, you have to grow your way through it. And so Paul didn't get flabbergasted because he had a relationship with God. And what I'm saying to us is we can't get flabbergasted, put our heads in the sand, throw our hands up, and quit because the road gets a little rough. What we have to do is we have to be like Caleb and Joshua and say, we're more than able because I can do all things through Christ that gives me the strength. That's what Paul said. He said, I can do all things through Christ that gives me the strength. When I'm weak, that's when he's strong. I'm relying on God to get me through this thing. So when Agabus comes and say, hey, they're going to bind you, they're going to turn you over, Paul didn't get sidetracked. But too many times, Dr. G, help me out, people get sidetracked because they don't know the word of God, and they get in the flesh and they just go off the deep end and they forget about what God says. And so then when they come leave the ark of safety and forget about the Holy Spirit, then the enemy plays them around like a pinball machine. They bing, 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 bing all over the place. And instead of being rooted and grounded in the word of God. Help me out, Dr. G.
Well, you hit it on the head. The thing, because I was just sitting there thinking about it, you know, too many times, and I'm talking about Christians right now, these so-called Christians, you know, we pretend that we have a real relationship with the Lord. But until we are serious about this thing and we get a one-on-one personal relationship with the Lord, and then not just get saved, but do the things that's going to help us to overcome those battles and those tests and those trials and tribulations. Yes. No, the Lord never said the way was going to be easy, but he did promise that he would be with us every step of the way. And what we have to do is, just like Paul, you know, we've got to buckle down. Yeah, you know, I can do all things through Christ. You know, I remember when my doctor gave me the bad news that I had type 2 diabetes. Rather than come home and cry the blues and cuss the Lord out, you know, I listened to the doctor. I did the things that I had to do. I dropped about 15 pounds. I started eating differently. I ate healthy. I eat healthy now. I did the things that I had to do to help prolong the life. And I continue to give God the praise. You know, eating though I did not like it. All the junk that I was enjoying, I had to stop. My Pepsis, all that red meat, all the white rice, and all that kind of stuff. You know, we don't always seem to get it. You know, life is going to be full of ups and downs. But if, and that's where that word if comes in. You know, we've got to stop playing church. I told them Sunday, you know, when people become real, when God becomes real to people, that's when we will be able to stand up strong and tell the enemy, take your hands off of me. No, devil ain't going to quit. Devil don't care nothing about us. But until we make up in our own mind what it's going to be, either we're going to serve the Lord or we're just going to leave him alone. Because if we're not going to serve him, get off the pot and go on and enjoy yourself, because you know where you're going. But too often people are playing games, and we're living in a day and time now where there's so much going on. And God is trying to get people's attention to turn back to him, look to him, look to the hills from which cometh your help, knowing that your help comes from God. No, not within us. And as Sheila was saying, you know, we've got to understand that the battles that are coming, they're spiritual. And we cannot fight with physical weapons. It's a spiritual battle. And until we really get into that word and understand what the Lord is teaching and what he wants us to do, we got to be led by the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Let's look at what Paul did after he got this news in Acts 21, verse 12. It says, "And when he heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem." So when they heard that Paul was going to be bound and be persecuted, they tried to dissuade him not to finish the course. And that's what we have to be careful with. We have to understand that they're going to be people say, don't do it, don't do this, don't do this. There's going to be all kind of situations and circumstances giving you reason to turn back and stop serving the Lord. And I've seen it down through the years that people get hit with challenges and they stop serving the Lord. It's a thing where they get overwhelmed and their faith is not that strong and they stop serving God and they sit down on the Lord because of the frustrations of life and so they get into their feelings and their emotions. But let's see what Paul did when he got the news from Agabus. He had the folks around him saying, don't do it, don't go. All these situations telling him to sit down and don't follow through. But in verse 13, Acts 21, verse 13, and I'm reading from the NIV, it says, "Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Stop and think of that for a second. We need to have a pause right there.
Hello?
Amen. We need to have a pause right there. I didn't say the pause. Yes, hello. That's what all of us need to say. Hello. We all need to say that this is what Paul is saying. He's saying, okay, that's the bad news, but not only am I willing to go and get bound to get persecuted, but I'm also willing to die for the name of the Lord Jesus. So the question is, what you willing to die for?
Amen.
Ouch.
Die to self, die to flesh, die to what you want to do, and do what God wants you to do.
Say that again. Say that again.
I said, die to self, die to flesh, die to your emotions, and do what God, and be led and do what God wants you to do. And basically die to self, die to flesh, die to what we want to do, and live for what God wants us to do. That is the hardest thing for people as human beings to do, because they want it both ways. They want God's blessing, but they don't want to be persecuted. They want it to be the easy way out. They don't want to have any weapons formed against them. And when they are, they want to, the flesh wants to handle it itself. Then we jack it all up and then say, okay, Lord, can you take it from here? No, what Paul is doing right there is faith over fear, because he knows it's going to be difficult. He knows he's going to die for Christ. He knows he's going to be persecuted, but he's not listening to them friends. Come on, Job. He's not listening to those friends that are looking at it with their fleshly eye. He's looking at it from spiritual, say, I'm going to die because I'd rather die to self and do what God says than die and just be gone and go straight to hell, because I didn't do what God said. At least if I'm doing it God's way, I can have peace. I always say there's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is an emotion. You can be unhappy and still have joy and peace, because the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen, amen. And so when you look at, well said, when you look at verse 14, this is what Paul's conclusion was. He says, and when he would not be persuaded, in other words, Paul said, I, like you said, she was a faith over fear. He said, we see saying, and they said, the will of the Lord be done. That's where we got to get to. That's what we're talking about in that prayer in Matthew. We got to get to the point, the will of the Lord be done. And you got to know the difference. Because if you don't know the difference, you'll grab a gun and go shoot a whole bunch of people in a grocery store thinking you're right.
Yep.
Cuss a whole lot of people out. You know, when things don't go your way in election, freak out. When somebody don't sing your song the right way in the choir, quit the choir, quit the church. The thing is, you got to know what the will of the Lord is, and operate that the will of the Lord will be done, and that's where we need to get to, because we can say and do a whole lot of things, but if the enemy can get you not to operate in the will of God, he has won the battle.
That's right.
And so Paul says, you can cuss me out, you can persecute me, you can chain me up, you can try to persuade me this way, but I hear you crying. Paul said, what you crying for, man? It's like, you know, wipe your tears, you know, put your big boy underwear on, your big girl underwear on. We going forward in ministry, and there's a lot of people in church that's still drinking. We talked about this week before last, drinking out their bottle on the ninny jug, still got the pull up on. You know, you got to put the big boy and big girl underwear on and start drinking out the cup.
Yep.
It's maturity in God to be able to say, hey, all of this stuff is relevant, but it's not superseding. It's irrelevant when it comes to the will of God. And Paul says in that verse 14, the writer says in verse 14, the will of the Lord be done. In other words, they came to the conclusion, we can't persuade him not to do it. Paul said, I am persuaded that neither life nor death nor anything be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He said, that's who I'm going to live for, and that's who I'm going to die for. Help me out, Dr. G.
Well, you pretty much have said it. You know, we forget that was on the other side of that thing. He was persecuting Christians. Now, after the Lord had saved him and put him on this side, he's gotten to that point where he know without a shadow of a doubt, you know, where his faith is in, whose his faith is in, and we, too, have got to get to that point. You know, listening to you and Sheila, you know, it's not about what we want in life. It's about what God wants for us. And if we would ever learn that, you know, I hear folk all the time, you know, well, Pastor, pray for me, pray for a raise, pray for this, that, and the other. Okay, that's all well and good. But if it's the Lord's will, and we have to learn how to wait on God, God says, be of good courage while you're waiting. But we live in a time now where people want everything right now. I got to have it now. When you're driving, everybody's in a hurry. You know, we want it now. We got to get to work now. Well, stop rushing. You know, we want everything that we want, and we never slow down and ask the Lord, Lord, what is your will for me? Thy will be done. I mean, even Jesus said that. Now, if Christ could say it, what's wrong?
That's right. Amen. Amen. And so that is where Paul was in his ministry, and he knew there was going to be a time where he was going to be locked up in prison. He was going to have some difficult days ahead, but he willingly went and carried out the will of God. And you have to have that type of relationship to stand on God's promises and stand on his word. And in verse 15, and we're going to go to the phone line, in verse 15, Acts 21, verse 15, it says, and after those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem, where we continued the journey. And that's what we have to do. And we say that a lot of times God will allow you to live one day at a time. And every day has enough trouble for that day. But God has enough power, enough strength to get us through that day. And after that day, Lord's will, we'll try it again the next day. And it was an old country saying, Lord willing, the creek don't rise. We'll see you tomorrow. but that's an old saying. Ain't got nothing to do with the creek. But it's the Lord's will. But that was an old country saying that, Lord willing, the creek don't rise. And so the Lord's will is what takes us to the next moment. Takes us to the next step. And so this is where they got. They got through all the drama for that moment, and they went to Jerusalem. But we'll see next week that there's going to be a whole lot more drama for Paul as he goes before these folks. Oh, my gosh, nothing new under the sun, where they just come up with lie after lie after lie. And go through so much drama and so much unnecessary drama. But all of this is so that the word of God can spread to those that don't know God in the free pardoning of their sin. And so a lot of drama, a lot of back and forth between the Roman government, the Jewish leaders, the Gentiles, the Christians, the new converts, the old converts, the law and Christianity coming together. And it's so much the next couple of Thursdays we'll look at all of this coming to a head when Paul comes back to Jerusalem. But we want to ask the question tonight, amen, about the will of the Lord. Are you willing to follow the will of the Lord for your life? The will of the Lord and the challenges that come with that. So we're going to go to the phone lines. We're going to go to our first caller. And the first caller, last four digits, 1741. 1741, good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Yes, I'm willing to follow the will of the Lord. I pray and ask God to help me to do his will and his purpose. And so I know that in order to please God, I have to do his will, what he want me to do and not what I want to do. And so I always ask God to let his Holy Spirit lead me and show me that he want me to do and show me how to do it and help me to get it done. So, yes, if we're not doing God's will and purpose, then our work is in vain. Because we are supposed to be living for him and not for ourselves. And only what we do for the Lord will last. And so in order for God to get the glory out of our life, we have to ask him to show us what he wants us to do and to be satisfied with what God has given us to do and thank God want us to do or what he has given somebody else to do, but accept our gifts, accept our talents, accept what God has given us. Because God, he has blessed every person who want to serve him, want to be a part of him. He has blessed them with gifts, with talents, and to do his work. And so in order for the church to be united, in order for the church to grow, and in order for us to continue to bring in souls, we have to work together, collective, as a unified body in Christ. And so when we are working together and God is getting the glory, then Christ is being lifted up, and he is drawing men unto him. And so so in order for him to be the center, we have to get off the stool and let God do his will. We have to, every day we have to surrender. Every day we have to commit. Every day we have to ask the Lord, help me, Father, to walk in your will and in your purpose. Because sometimes we do get out of step. God don't get out of step. We get out of step sometimes.
All right.
So we have to ask the Lord to lead us and guide us. Every day we need the Holy Spirit. So I thank God for his Holy Spirit that keeps me and lead me so that he can get the glory. And I ask God to keep me humble too, because if you're not humble, then, you know, you're still not doing the will of God, because you're puffed up, you're self-righteous, you're doing your own thing. So you got to have that humble me spirit in order to hear God speaking to you and having that listening ear, so that you can be obedient to him.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller, our last four digits, 0072. Good evening. All right. We're going to go to our next caller. 3343. Good evening.
Good evening. Yes, good. I am willing. Well, are we going together? Or are we going to? He going to wait for it and go on? I was saying yes, I'm willing to go with God. I'm afraid. I'm in a mode right now. I'm afraid that I'm not following God, and I am shaking now because I don't know if I'm doing the right thing, but. Yes, I will follow God. I'm trying to follow God. And it's been with me all the way. And I'm shaking right now. And I got a nervous problem. But I'm going to try to stay with him and go with him as much as he keep on holding on my hand. I'm going to trust him and take a chance on what I'm doing. But I'm going to keep on and hold my will that I would be done right. And take God's in my hand and believe in him. That's all I can say. Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 8760. 8760, good evening.
Can you repeat the question?
Yes. Are you willing to surrender your will over to God's will? Follow God's will?
Now I am. Now that I see what happens when you don't surrender your will and follow God.
Amen.
I see now what happens, and I see that it, you know, if it means that I'm going to be protected, and I understand, you know, things are still going to come my way. However, I do not want to feel like how I felt when I did not follow the Lord's will. So therefore, I definitely know, you know, that the next time God tells me to do something, I need to go ahead and do it. And don't try and do it my way. Go ahead and do it here.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last word is 7971. 7971, good evening.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Following the will of the Lord is what we are doing right now, studying his word and him teaching us how to lean and depend on him for everything. Everything that we do in the sight of God is through his will, his spirit, his power, and his love. And we know that he has given us his Holy Spirit. But the bottom line is, when things get rough and things are out of control that you have no control of, believers in Jesus have access to the greatest gift given to humanity, and that is Christ. We have no other choice as a believer. That is to trust his will. And when you do it and you see it works, and I'm a testimony of its working, you have nothing left in your spiritual walk but to live and depend on what God has promised you. His will is the right way. We might think a lot of things, but when you follow him in your walk of life and you depend on him and you give him the praise and the glory and you know who he is in your life, and you can share that, and you can just see what his will is all about, you have no other choice but to trust him. Trusting and believing God is the whole myth of, and it's not a myth, it's just something that is a spirit, just what it says it is. You have to know him for yourself. People can tell you all these things and everything, but when you have actually experience the will of God in your life, in your spiritual journey, is nothing no more satisfying and gratifying in your life to have that assurance that you know that you know. If I go to my Father, he's going to be there for me. And if I trust in his will, you may not do it right then, but that's where your patience kick in. And you know that you know that you know. God's will is all you need. Trusting, believing, and have the faith that you know for yourself. God's will is the only way.
Amen.
It's the only way in your life. It's a blessing. It's a blessing for anybody. And it's there for us, and it doesn't cost a dime. He's just waiting to see. And a friend of mine said to me all the time, take it to the Lord in prayer. Trust him. And that's how you get that true, true meaning of God's will. And let it materialize and develop and manifest in your spiritual journey. You can't get anything no better than that. That's what it's all about. because you talk all day and all night, but that's what it means to me.
Amen. Praise God.
Well, thank you for your testimony. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 8760. 8760. Good evening. All right. Go to our next call. Last four digits, 0266. 0266. Good evening. All right. I'm going to go to our next. Did I hear 0266? 0266?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey.
Yes, sir. What was the question again?
You willing to surrender your will over to God's will?
Oh, absolutely. I can be honest and say that it is hard sometimes, you know. You'll be committed. You'll be, you know, on a nice flow, you know, reading your word, studying and stuff, and then you will get off track sometimes. I mean, I do make mistakes, so we all human. So, I mean, it happens. But I try my hardest to stay on it, you know, not give up. And then with everything that I've been through, kind of like, it's like 1 minute I'm in, and then the next minute I'm out because I'm mad or because I'm sad, because I'm feeling some type of way. So like, I know for a fact that I need to learn to, you know, be patient and stay humble, not just when I'm happy and everything is good, I'm humble, not when, you know, when some bad stuff is going down or anything like that, just to stay patient, humble, and to keep my mindset, you know, within God.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. The last four digits, 1411. 1411. Good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I struggle with this because I know the right thing. I know what the right thing is. I know what I want to do and what I should be doing. But, you know, sometimes for me, when we get caught up, we lose sight of it. And we don't even realize that we're exercising our will and we're doing it our way as opposed to turning it over to God. And then things, you know, happen so quick. Then when I'm finally and I look back, I'm like, that's just me doing it my way. That's just me doing what I know I'm not supposed to be doing. And then when we're in these talks and environments, it's so much clarity. And you ask yourself, like, why do I keep struggling? But I don't lose faith. You know, I know we all have our struggles and we all talk. And I think all the people that spoke touched on it. It's really consistency, you know, and I struggle with it. And it's like, I see it after the fact, but I don't see it while I'm going through it. But, you know, I found that the progress that I've made has been because when I get closer to God and establish that relationship and do what we're doing now, life slows down a little bit to where you can see things coming on the horizon. And when you're in the moment, you're like, all right, this is that fork in the road right now. Like, I can go left, which is my way, or I can kind of surrender it over to God. But I think the problem we struggle with as Christians is that God's way ain't going to necessarily always, according to man and me and flesh, it ain't going to always be the prettiest. Mm-hmm. It ain't going to always be the shortest. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about surrendering and trusting God, guess what? You're going to have some faith. You're going to have a whole lot of patience because it ain't going to be a quick microwave fix or microwave solution.
Amen.
You're going to have to sit in some uncomfortable situations for a minute if you're going to do it God's way. And I think that's where we struggle because, of course, we look at it our way like, oh, we can do this, whatever. We'll be in and out or we'll get what we want so fast. But then we make it worse and we actually get further away from our destination. But God's way, you're sitting for a while. You got to go through some ups and downs. It's this long, drawn-out process. And sometimes when you're in this flesh, you ain't in the mood for that. You don't feel like doing it. It's just we want to react, and we're supposed to say, like, tag. By me reacting, it feel good. But then when you look back, you're like, I'm further away from my goal than when I started because I didn't trust in the Lord, and I didn't practice that faith, and I didn't practice that patience, and I didn't take into account all the things that we talked about for the hour on the Bible study call. It all went to waste, but there's a little something called hope. We get to do it all over again the next day and the day after and the day after if it be God's will. But I do struggle with it because in this life, thrown at us. You got to deal with the enemy's agenda, your agenda, Christ's agenda, and you're trying to juggle it. And sometimes we get caught off guard and mistakes will be made, but we got to remember it is a process. I know where I'm at now. I wasn't there a year ago and the year before that, but I'm also man enough to admit on this call to all of you, I do struggle with that because sometimes I even get a little confused. Like, I feel like I'm doing it, surrendering it to God, or I'm situational. And I had to talk with our pastor a couple of Wednesdays ago. You know, I thank God for healing my body, and I was ahead of schedule, everything like that. But what did I do? I decided to crank it up on the treadmill a little bit because I was feeling myself, thinking like I got myself healed. And sure enough, here I go tumbling off the treadmill because I started to exercise my will. And then we talked about if you're going to exercise the will of God and turn over to God, go all in. Do it all the way. Don't just say, all right, Jesus, take the will. And then with a mile left in the journey, all right, God, I got it from here. I know you guys
interrupt
the rain, but let me take it home, God. Let me push home. And what you do, you crash off the side of the road, roll down the hill, because you think it was you that got you there. So, you know, I've learned that when I say I'm going to exercise God's will, I'm going to turn it over to God and live for him, I got to be all in. Even when I get through the rough terrain and I know, and I'm still not there yet, let God have it. And even if you get through it and God still want to hold on to the will, let him take you wherever he going to take you. You don't necessarily got to take that will back because God has so much in store for us that we don't know yet, that we don't see yet, that it hasn't kind of hit us yet. But we got to show God that we're ready because when God sees you practice patience and the faith and exercising all these things, then he's like, okay, you ready for what I got in store for you? You ready for that next chapter or that next blessing or that job or that raise or all of these things that, you know, we want and rightfully so we're deserving of. But we got to show God that we're ready, but it's got to be his will because I know for me, every time I've inserted myself in the equation don't work out. They don't add up at the end. And then when I realize that equation, I'd be like, go back and draw it out on the board. I'm like, you know what? I'm in there too much. Let me take me out of this equation. And then when I just keep it about God, then you get the desired result. Then that number at the end starts to make sense. But again, it's a daily struggle for me. I'm not going to sit here and lie to y'all, man. I deal with so much and we got so much going on, but I pray. I know I need to call in when I do things. I know I need to testify and give my testimonies and do those things that help me say, you know what? I struggled today, but I'm still here. I'm still standing. God's going to give me another opportunity to get it right. And that's what we have to be mindful of because this journey we on is supposed to be for the rest of our life, man. We can't cry over the small things when there's so much more life to live and so much more that the Lord has in store for all of us, self included. But it is something that I am working on, but I'm just glad that you all have been able to touch on it. I'm taking some things away from it. The testimonies before me were super, super powerful and most importantly encouraging that, you know what, it ain't the end of the world. You know, we're going to all have our vices and things we struggle with, but consistently I'm trying to get better at trusting God throughout this process and turn it over to the Lord and exercising God's will because it ain't about me, man. This is all about God and what we need to do as Christians to try to live a better life and be an example and ultimately get into the gates of heaven when it's all said and done. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony. Evening, we're going to go to our next caller, last four digits, 1211. 1211. Good evening.
Praise Lord, everybody. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:20 says we are to be ambassadors for Christ. So, yes, I do seek to do God's will, God's way. But I'm reminded of the old Negro spiritual, walk with me, Lord. Walk with me while I'm on this Christian journey.
Yeah.
Walk with me. And I'm reminded how David, when he was walking with the Lord, he was able to defeat a bear and a lion. And by the time he got to Goliath, he was ready. And he said, I know the Lord will deliver you into my hands. And I don't want to be like, I pray hard that I'm not like the man who was going to swim the English Channel and got halfway and decided he couldn't make it and swam back. Because truth be told, you can expend more energy going astray than you did if you just simply done it God's way.
First few.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen. Praise Amen. The Lord.
Thank you for your comment tonight. Let me go to our next caller, last four digits, 9880. 9880, good evening.
Hello.
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 So I'm working on myself every day. You know, every day I'm striving to just get better and continue to walk within the will of God. And, you know, it definitely is hard sometimes, especially when, you know, it's not so much hard when life is going well and when things are going the way that you think it's supposed to go, but it's more difficult when life is, you know, not going the best and not really treating you or, you know, going as the way you think it should have been as planned, you know. But I truly believe that God continues to work on me every day. I recognize that lately I have a sense of calmness a lot more than I had years ago, and I'm truly grateful. I'm truly thankful for it because, you know, there are things that happen within life that you want to give a reaction to, and you want to be able to, you know, react the way you want to. But it's like God, in the middle of all the situations, he works it out, you know. So it's just one of those things where I am still working on myself every day, but, you know, I'm not perfect.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Sheila G, that's going to do it for all us tonight. We have a final comment and close it out in prayer, please.
Amen. Just two comments. One that we talked about earlier, which is faith over fear, meaning that we will feel fear, but we cannot let fear control us. And by having faith over fear, we can allow the will of God to be done, not our will, but his will to be done. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you once again for another Bible study lesson. Now, thank you, Father, how we're able to expound on your word and use it and apply it to our lives, Lord. I pray for each and every one on this call, all of us, to continue to yield to your will, Lord. Recognize things will happen to us. They will have fear, but we have faith. We have the faith to trust you. We can call the devil out with the Holy Spirit and persevere through any challenges that we're faced with. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. That's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.